Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Adolescence, it's the perfect storm for relationships between teenagers and their parents, but they are more vulnerable than they seem because there's an awful lot happening during this time. There's the need for autonomy and independence, the desire to belong with their friends and peers, and the search for identity. And that's even before you start to think about the brain, the hormones, physical, psychological, emotional changes that are also happening. So how best can you protect your teen's mental health during this sensitive time? Well, to talk more about this, I'm joined by GP and mental health specialist Dr. Harry Barry and Dr. Anne-Marie Craven from the Department of Psychology at the University of Limerick. And you're both welcome. Well, thank you for being here. This is a very big subject for us to tackle, but let's try. Anne-Marie, the conversation about protecting the mental health of teenagers, it's getting a lot more traction in recent years, isn't it?
It is. And I think we see that reflected, for example, in initiatives in schools around mental health. We're even seeing it filter down to primary school now with information about counselling services. So we do seem to have a lot more awareness. I think this is a good thing because teenagers, in my view, often get a raw deal. So we often give out about their sleep patterns, their moods, the fact that they have so many friends or people in their lives. And this is important because this is a life stage where we do see changes in sleep. We do see mood changes. We do see changes in how people interact socially. So recognizing adolescence and emerging adulthood, so this is a phase of life from around 16 to 25 years, recognizing this life stage for what it is and the changes that come with it is really important. So it's great that we're having more awareness, but I think we also, with awareness, need more understanding too.
Mm-hmm. And Harry, I think we all have a sense, and you'll tell me now whether we're right or wrong, that things are tougher now for teenagers than they were.
Yes.
Are we right on that front?
I think we are. Well, I think as my late mother-in-law used to say, every generation will have its own issues and is prepared for those issues. So in many senses, our young people now, in my opinion, are probably facing more mental health challenges. Do you know what I mean? I think the world is very complex. The world is, with all the stuff that's going on. And I believe, we'll talk about it later, that the arrival of the smartphone is a game changer. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I mean, it's certainly, we'll talk about it later.
But no escape.
Yeah, no escape, no.
So the mental health issues then that commonly impact teenagers going through this really sensitive time, which is set out there in the beginning, what are they? What are they looking at?
Well, I think the ones that, I mean, anxiety is rampant, absolutely rampant. Particularly, we never talk about them, but panic attacks are a huge issue. Phobias, panic attacks, social anxiety is very, very common. Depression is still persistently there. It hasn't suddenly changed or gone up or anything like that. It's constantly there all the time because 25% of cases of all cases of depression present for the first time between 15 and 18 and another 25% between 18 and 25. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I'd like to get across today is I wish we would stop this obsession with the teenager.
13 to say
and
19.
And start thinking in terms of the adolescent between 13 and 25 because I see this whole spectrum of mental health going right through, do you know what I mean, mm-hmm. from 13 to 25. And I think if we started to think more like that, we might get a better handle on this.
And that's based in science, isn't it?
Oh, that's totally based in science. It's based on the adolescent brain. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Will we talk a little bit about that, Anne-Marie? Will you explain to us what's going on with the adolescent brain?
Yeah, so there's quite a lot of changes biologically during this time. And I totally agree with Harry that the idea of a teenager is not necessarily helpful because the adolescent brain continues to develop up until the mid-20s. And now that we know that, we should be more accepting that we see these developmental changes during this time, that people aren't fully fledged adults in their early 20s. Mm-hmm. So when the brain is developing during this time, we might see an increase in risk-taking behaviours. We might see more development of how to manage emotions and so on. And we also see changes in sleep patterns. So teenagers have different sleep-wake cycles, or adolescents, I should say. They might go to bed a little bit later and similarly wake up a little bit later. And this is all driven by biology. So we often think that someone is being a little bit moody or a little bit lazy. But actually, the adolescent brain is developing right till the mid-20s. And we see that reflected in the behavior of that age group. So I think understanding that as a distinct phase of life, some people call it emerging adulthood, is really, really important.
Mm-hmm. And others call it brain pruning, Harry.
Yes, brain pruning. This is something I'm really close to my heart. I think it's really important that at birth, we're only 10% of our brain is formed. Social connections between 10 and 13 then create this massive amount of neurons and connections in the brain. And then at 12, the brain's a mess. So like a good gardener, out comes the shears. So the sex hormones and genes begin this incredible shearing process starting at the back of the brain. But particularly important from our discussion is from 13 to 18, the limbic system, the emotional part of the brain, middle part of the brain, is being seriously pruned. And that means connections are being cut and shaped and reorganized. And then the front part of the cortex is only fully pruned between around 15, 25, even up to the age of 30. So, in fact, we've all these extraordinary changes. And this has massive implications because if we all know our teenagers, they're all incredibly emotional. They live and breathe in the world of emotions. And nobody ever asks why. But the reason for that is because their whole emotional brain is being literally torn to pieces by the shears. Mm-hmm. And yet the rational brain hasn't fully developed. The rational brain is the kind of the brake on the emotional brain.
Yeah, and I suppose in a way that explains why we've talked a lot about vaping on the programme recently, how introducing a substance like vape, chemicals, nicotine, alcohol, drugs can be so impactful on that group of people.
And that's why all these companies are so desperate to get these kids on board, because they know they'll react emotionally. That's the colours and everything about it. But really, this is what's really important to me, that we also get between 13 and 18 these incredible dopamine surges. And this is nature's way of making us take risks. And this explains a lot of the group activities, because it increases when young people come together. I think this explains our road traffic accidents. It explains risky behaviours in big groups. It explains things like that awful filming of that child. Do you know what I mean? All that type of stuff is all driven by this huge dopamine surges. Now, when we get to 18 onwards, that begins to dampen down and we start to get the rational brain starting to get a little bit more say in things. So we notice by the time we get to Leaving Cert, for example, they're a lot more steady by 21, 23, 25. But it continues on into college. And if you ask any college counsellor or guidance counsellor, there is just a carnage going on in college in terms of mental health.
You're agreeing with that, Anne-Marie, I hear.
I am agreeing. Yeah. And mental health services on campuses are generally quite stretched. And of course, the bigger social issues don't help, the cost of living and so on. But I think this phase of life, this up to around 25, is something we don't accommodate very well in public services in general. So if you think about it, even if you're transitioning from a pediatric to adult clinic, that might happen around 18. But if that could be stretched for people with health conditions to later, that would be much better. Right? So when you're 18, technically you become an adult, you can vote. Yeah, there's lots of other things you can do as well, but you're not really there yet and you still need support. So recognizing that phase and extending support right up to at least 25 will be really, really helpful. So I think we're increasingly seeing research recognize this, but we need to see policy and practice recognize that life stage as well in terms of healthcare services, in terms of mental health provision and so on. I think that would be a great change to see.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about how the adults in the house can help here, because the battlegrounds are sleep, Harry, exercise, and diet.
Yeah, these are the critical issues for me. We all talk about the mental health of our young people, but really we need to start looking at the developing brain. What actually causes the problem? Well, the very interesting one is that the adult needs 8 hours sleep, but the teenager needs 9.5 hours sleep. And the reason why that's so important is that this great pruning exercise is going on when you're asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not getting enough sleep, the first four hours...
The problem is they want to get that sleep starting at 1 a.m.
Well,
into
the real
late morning.
Problem, the real problem centres around, there's two practical reasons why our young people are 12 to 14 hours sleep deprived every week. Every week. And that's not including the weekends when their circadian rhythms are shot all over the place.
Yeah.
But the first reason is that the biological clock is 2 hours later. their sleep cycle is 2 hours later. So we can't get them to bed and we can't get them out of bed in the morning. Mm. But our modern society has not made any allowances for that.
So these kids are up at crazy hours
in the morning. So second thing is that these kids all have smartphones and they're all on their smartphones under their pillows late at night when they should be asleep, causing huge upset to their sleep patterns. Now, you may say, well, why is that so important? Well, if you don't get enough sleep in the first part of your cycle, you don't get proper pruning. If you miss it in the second part of your cycle, which nearly all of them are missing, there's all the evidence shows a huge increase in anxiety, the one thing that we're desperately trying to, a huge increase in self-harm, a huge increase in eating disorders, a huge increase in addiction. So, in other words, we're actually creating a problem, but we're not actually looking at the solution.
And how is the parent supposed to take the phone from the 15-year-old?
Well, we'll talk about phones now in a second, but I think just lack of exercise, which you talk about regularly in this programme, particularly girls are not getting enough exercise. And we know that exercise is hugely important for our mental health and the brain and developing brain. Poor nutrition. We never talk about the effects of very poor nutrition. For example, obesity has been shown in America when they scanned these teenagers in their later teens that the connections between the two sides of the brains were much weaker. Mm-hmm. So and their hippocampus is smaller. And now we come to the one that you're talking about, which is just the incredible effect of social media and the smartphone. Mm-hmm. And you know,
and can I add, Harry, just on that smartphone piece, because it is really important to discuss, but a lot of the research, I don't think, always asks young people what they think. And I think that's important to say as well, that we have all this research on these effects, but also what young people think is important. So if you're the parent of an adolescent, ask them how the smartphone use is going, ask them if they think it affects their mood and mental health. And they'll often give you actually a really, really good answer. And some of the answers we've got, if I can share some research on this topic, is that adolescents, they recognise that smartphone or social media use can be damaging. They recognise it's a highlight reel of life, but they still feel an emotional reaction to it that's not positive. Mm-hmm. So even when the research isn't always consistent on social media use, if you actually sit down and ask yourself, how do you feel about your use? People generally do identify it as something that's not universally positive, particularly where they compare themselves to others who might have a very busy life.
What's your advice?
So I think that's something important to know.
On that front, Harry, in the little time that we have left.
Yeah, well, firstly, I think the Surgeon General of the United States put his finger on it when he said, although there are definite benefits, there is a profound risk of harm to our teenagers. So could I really call a big call out to the group in Greystones, I think it is, It Takes a Village. What a tremendous achievement where parents and teachers got together and said, no, our primary schools will be school, and that's where we need to start. Could I ask that be brought out countrywide? Mm-hmm. And that all communities get together and say, why are we giving smartphones to 9-year-olds? They cannot cope with them.
Yeah, it was a great idea.
And I think if we could all, as a society, start off by at least taking it out of the 9-year-olds, I'll come back to you again on what to do about it.
We'll have to come back to this. Unfortunately, our time is up. Harry and Anne-Marie, thank you very much for being with us. The programme was produced today by Barbara Feeney, researched by Ciarán Dunn. Our broadcast coordinator was Stephen Higgins. Liam Mullen was on sound and Alistair McConnell is the series producer. Let's go to Louise.